sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The show you're about to hear today is on fusion centers, and it was first aired in July of 2010. Fusion centers are still a major concern, so I thought it was worthy of a replay. So here it is. Since the shock of 9/11, we've been bombarded with many challenging issues and events that have kept our heads spinning. Issues and events that we would never have accepted prior to 9/11 and the fear instilled in us by the bogus war on terror. We've been bombarded with two wars, torture, secret detention centers, secret rendition, the curtailment of our civil liberties through the Patriot Act, bank bailouts that were the hugest transfer of wealth from the public to the private sector probably in world history, private military contractors, the loss of jobs and retirement funds, the encroachment of corporations in every aspect of our lives, the swine flu hoax and dangerous vaccines, massive domestic surveillance, and the creation of fusion centers. And the list goes on. This is not all coincidental and was designed to leave us not knowing where to turn and which issue or event to deal with first. It's my belief that the fusion centers are a huge infringement on our privacy and liberty that should not be ignored. They paved the way to tyranny. I'm hoping that we will turn our collective attention to them, learn all we can about them, and then decide, is this something that we want or don't want? So the focus of today's show will be on these fusion centers. Here's what the Department of Homeland Security's website has to say about fusion centers. Many states and larger cities have created state and local fusion centers to share information and intelligence within their jurisdictions, as well as with the federal government. The department, through the Office of Intelligence and Analysis, provides personnel with operational and intelligence skills to the fusion centers. This support is tailored to the unique needs of the locality and serves to help the classified and unclassified information flow, provide expertise, coordinate with local law enforcement and other agencies, and provide local awareness and access. As of July 2009, there were 72 designated fusion centers around the country with 36 field representatives deployed. And just for the record, Connecticut has two fusion centers, one in Hartford and one in New Haven. And now here's a clip from Fox News dealing with fusion centers. You can see this clip by going to YouTube and searching for Fox News and fusion centers.
You can have all the intelligence data you want, but if it does not get to the right people, what good is it? That's the logic behind what are called fusion centers. Basically, they are a way for government agencies to connect the dots and try to prevent another 9/11. Correspondent Lori Engel has the story.
In this unassuming office in Des Moines, Iowa, federal, state, county, and city law enforcement agents are all gathered under one roof in what has become a model of intelligence sharing. Resources and databases are combined, and critical crime-fighting information is shared.
We are safer, and we are doing a better job, but we are not yet safe, and we have more work to do.
48 states now have fusion centers based on an agency Iowa created in 1984. Iowa Director Russell Porter helped craft the idea to fill in the gaps of intelligence gathering that were discovered after the September 11th attacks.
I think what we see today, even more so than what we saw then, is that this is really a global issue.
The Chicago Fusion Center is inside police headquarters, where law enforcement agents not only help prevent terrorist attacks here at home, but share information in a global network.
And it's connected to open source suspicious activities that occur throughout the world. And this gives us a heads up. If something happens in the Middle East, we're able to link our intelligence with their intelligence.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Ben Stone, executive director with the American Civil Liberties Union in Iowa, says his concern isn't so much with the main mission of fusion centers, but with how the information is gathered and that there is no political oversight.
There's been history in America of abuse by the intelligence community, by the FBI, of American citizens' rights and their privacy. And we need to learn from history, not repeat it.
Every law enforcement officer in this country, to my knowledge, takes an oath to support and uphold the laws and Constitution of the United States and the state in which they live.
But keeping America safe isn't cheap. The federal government wants fusion centers to rely on funding from state and local homeland security grants. The problem, center directors argue, is that those local dollars carry restrictions on how they can be used.
And security experts say that without proper intelligence gathering, we run the risk of taking a step back in time, back to the days before 9/11, when critical information didn't reach the people who needed it the most. In Chicago, Laura Engel, Fox News.
One group that has been studying the activities of these fusion centers is Texans for Accountable Government. And now you're going to hear what they have to say about these fusion centers.
Hello, John Bush here with Texans for Accountable Government, joined by Catherine Bleich of the Liberty Restoration Project. We've been working together on Operation Defuse. We've been exposing and better understanding the mechanics of the police state and how the Department of Homeland Security and the federal government are using the fusion center apparatus in order to further militarize and federalize our local police departments. In the past videos, we've given you an overview of the Missouri Information Analysis Center and a report they put out called the Modern Militia Movement. We've also given a general overview of what fusion centers are and how they work and what their purpose is. Right now, we want to discuss exactly what type of data these fusion centers hope to gather and what they plan on doing with that data.
What do those guidelines call on the fusion centers to collect? What sorts of information?
Well, the fusion center guidelines, Appendix C, it's called Functional Categories, and they actually call for these fusion centers to collect, gather, analyze, disseminate a very large number of resources and different types of information. Among them, agriculture, food, water, and the environment, banking and finance, criminal justice, chemical industries and hazardous materials, education, energy, emergency services, health and public health services, government, hospitality and lodging, information and telecommunications, military facilities and defense industrial base, postal and shipping, social services, private security, public works, real estate, transportation, retail, and the list goes on and on. So it really, they are trying to create a system of total information awareness.
Well, John, it sounds like they're trying to collect information from every aspect of our life, everything we do. I mean, if they're collecting information on agriculture and healthcare and what sort of utilities we use, what does that mean?
Well, in many instances, we'll see the fusion center being utilized for purposes other than what its original intention was. The fusion centers were originally developed in order to combat the war on terror. Now we see them taking an all crimes and all hazards approach. Some of the ways that these will be utilized by other government programs or other government legislation would be, for example, we have cap and trade, which is currently trying to go through the House and Senate in the United States. What they want to do is monitor the carbon output by various individuals and businesses. Here in the city of Austin, we actually have the Austin Climate Protection Program, which wants, again, to also monitor carbon outputs by different businesses and individuals. Well, we'll see this fusion center, if the federal government gets their way, the fusion center will be used for a point of fusion, not only for terrorism and crime-related information, but also for this energy use as well. We're required to do a energy audit before we sell our home here in the city of Austin, so we could see that information being sent through the fusion center as well. Also, we have the healthcare reform that's being pushed through the Senate and House as well at the federal level. We could see potentially fusion centers being used in order to gather, collect, analyze, disseminate information on individuals' health care as well. And of course, this just opens up the potential for privacy and civil liberties abuse as well. And we do see a problem whenever this type of information and intelligence and the ability to gather this information, disseminate and analyze this information is more and more being centralized into a smaller and smaller number of hands. So again, we see that as a problem. That's another thing that we'll be going over in future videos. One thing I do want to point out is evidenced by this federal fusion center guidelines, we see them wanting to gather just about every single bit of information that they possibly can. Brings up the Total Information Awareness Program of 2002, which ties directly into these fusion centers, especially the technology that they're using and exactly what they hope to accomplish by gathering a lot of this data. The Total Information Awareness Project started in 2002 as part of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. It was headed up by a gentleman by the name of John Poindexter, who was actually a convicted felon underneath the Iran-Contra scandal. What the Total Information Awareness Project called for was exactly that, total information awareness. They wanted to develop technologies and capabilities to do a number of functions. Among them was a program called Genesis. And what Genesis wanted to do was to produce technology for integrating and broadening database and other information sources to support effective intelligence analysis aimed at preventing terrorist attacks on the citizens, institution, and property of the United States. So much of the technology that's utilized with the fusion centers that allows them to gather information and pull information from a number of different sources and databases arose from the Total Information Awareness Program with projects such as Genesis. Another one that's of interest is called the Human ID Program. What the Human ID Program wanted to do was to be able to recognize human beings through biometric facial scanning recognition at a distance, up to 5,000 feet away. We see that being utilized now with the surveillance cameras that come around. And of course, these surveillance cameras are linked into the Fusion Center system. What's very interesting, however, is a program called Genoa, or more specifically, Genoa 2. Now, the goal of Genoa 2 is to develop collaboration, automation, and cognitive aids technologies that allow humans and machines to think together about complicated and complex problems more efficiently and effectively. This project will develop technology to support collaborative work by cross-organizational teams of intelligence and policy analysts and operators as they develop models and simulations to aid in understanding the terrorist threat, generate a complete set of plausible alternative futures, and to produce options to deal proactively with these threats and scenarios. Again, what I was reading from actually is a 2003 congressional overview of the Total Information Awareness Program. It's interesting that Congress actually defunded the Total Information Awareness Program because of the privacy implications. Before they did that, they actually changed the name to Terrorism Information Awareness Project. But now we see many of these technologies being utilized in the Fusion Center system, and much of that is going to be utilized in gathering all the different data that we mentioned before. What the Fusion Centers are going to be able to do is take that data, run it through complex algorithms, which will effectively allow the Fusion Center, the Department of Homeland Security, in turn, to gather and to trace and to see individuals' potentials to be a threat to their system. This is a major concern for us because we see the Fusion Center apparatus being utilized in order to track, trace, and analyze peaceful dissent and First Amendment protected speech. We also see the Fusion Center apparatus being utilized in order to go after peaceful groups who simply reject a lot of the federal policies that we see coming about right now. So we are fearful that the Fusion Center apparatus will be used in order to track, trace, and analyze individuals who they deem a potential threat to the establishment, to the status quo. And as I said before, they're already tracking and tracing individuals who are peaceful, not breaking any laws, and are simply engaging in First Amendment protected speech and our protected right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. Another part of the Total Information Awareness Program is the Human ID Program. Now, the goal of the Human ID Program was to develop technologies that were capable of recognizing human beings at a distance through the use of surveillance cameras.
Now, John, this sounds a little unreasonable to some people. Identifying people at a distance through the use of surveillance cameras, it sounds like something out of a futuristic movie that you wouldn't exactly expect to happen in real life. Is there any evidence that this is really being implemented here in our country?
As they say, truth is stranger than fiction. And we do see police departments and state police all across the country, whenever they require individuals to get their driver's license at the DMV, they often ask you not to smile. There's a reason for that. And that's so in the future, whenever they get this Human ID Program technology ready and capable in surveillance cameras, as well as cameras at toll roads and whatnot, they'll be able to better pick up a scan of your face. This is reality, ladies and gentlemen. The FBI is utilizing this program as well. And what we see through the Fusion Centers is their ability to basically bring it to every single local police department in the country.
Now, wait a second. So we, in previous videos, went through and showed how Fusion Centers were actually issuing reports that profiled peaceful dissent. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't that be a concern, that they're both issuing reports that profile people who are peacefully dissenting against their government, while at the same time they're coming up with facial recognition mm-hmm. technology?
Sure, we could see this utilized, say, for example, in the city of Austin, they're setting up surveillance cameras all across town. Say there were to be a rally or a protest. Well, we already know that the federal government is not past tracking and putting peaceful dissenters on terror database watch lists. So who is to prevent the state from using this technology to basically identify everybody that's participating in an anti-government protest? It's definitely a big concern for us. And that's part of the reason why we're bringing you this exact information. Another big concern for us, besides the Human ID program, is a program called Genoa 2. Basically, what Genoa 2 is doing is coming up with technology that allows the government to take all this information that we mentioned previously, be it healthcare, criminal information, education, banking and finance, lodging, grab all that information, along with whether or not you participated at the latest protest, and grab that and run it through complex algorithms that basically gives the government the ability to predict if you, in fact, may be a potential threat in the future. And again, people may say that that seems far-fetched, but based on the technology that they're creating through the Total Information Awareness Program, couple that with the previous abuses that we've seen come out of the War on Terror apparatus and the Fusion Center apparatus, and I don't think that it seems that far from reality. Another potential abuse of the Fusion Center apparatus is whenever we see the private sector getting involved in the analyzing, collecting, and disseminating of information. What we could see in the future, again, it's obviously clear that the Fusion Centers are working with private sector databases as well as with retail stores. And what we fear in the future is that the Fusion Center will be utilized and its ability to collect privileged information, which will then be disseminated to private retail companies. Much like in the movie Minority Report, cameras scanned the individual's irises, and from there were able to bring up ads based on that particular individual's hobbies and interests. And again, it seems far-fetched, but we already see this slowly but surely starting to take effect through the Fusion Center system. Now, Catherine Blash and myself visited Phoenix, Arizona, and visited the Arizona Fusion Center there. We met with the woman and were able to do a pretty long and thorough interview with her. And basically what we found out, one of the most striking and alarming things that we found out from that particular interview was anytime an organization is going to hold a rally or a protest in the Arizona area, the Phoenix area, they run the organizer of that protest. They run their name through their databases to see if there's any potential threat. This, of course, flies in the face of the American tradition of innocent until proven guilty. It's intelligence-led policing. But again, we see it as yet another example of them going after peaceful First Amendment-protected activities, such as organizing a rally or a protest.
Now, in Phoenix, they also mentioned they had access to the footage from the red light traffic cameras. Mm-hmm. What does that mean about the potential of free travel in these United States when the Fusion Centers are actually running people through databases for no reason other than the fact they're planning a rally, and they are tracking photographs of people's vehicles as they travel throughout their community, especially in Arizona?
Sure. The right to free travel has long been enjoyed by free people throughout civilization. We see that as a decline here in the United States. Not only are different states pushing for tax by mile, which some of them would include a GPS, but we see license plate scanning cameras and red light cameras coming up all across the country. Basically, these license plate scanning cameras can be posted up at different vantage points throughout your city. And as you drive by, the license plate scanning camera will scan your license plate and feed that into the database. Not only that, but as you go through toll roads also, they have cameras there that take pictures of your face and your license plate as well. So basically what this is effectively allowing, again, you go back to a system of total information awareness. And what the government is capable of doing in these instances is basically tracking and tracing your every move, be it by vehicle, they can track and scan your license plate, or even as you walk around in your daily activities. If you have a city that has enough surveillance cameras, for example, in the city of London, they say the average individual is surveilled by cameras, CCTV cameras, 500 times a day. So as you walk through your day, going about your daily activities, if these cameras have the facial recognition technology and capability, they'll basically be able to see exactly where it is that you are going and track and trace your travel. And as we've seen all throughout history, when governments have the ability to not only trace but restrict travel, tyranny always closely will follow.
Now, one thing that is kind of bothering me a little bit, if they're going to run people's names through these Fusion Center databases based on no criminal predicate, just the fact that they're an activist, and now we have full body scanners going into TSA, what does that mean for women like myself who are active in the movement? Is there a potential that a full body scanned image of myself could be seen by a member of law enforcement when I have indicated in no way to them I might have committed a crime?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up. We've also seen in the past different telecommunications and cable companies actually have debated and come up with the technology that has a camera in your cable box that's capable of scanning your figure in order to find out who it is that's sitting in front of the television at a moment in order to feed them specialized advertisements. Again, with the TSA coming up with body scanners, that image, you can bet, will not be purged. Even if they say it'll be purged, in many instances, it will be saved on a hard drive. And again, the Fusion Center system wants to create a system of total information awareness. They would definitely like to have that accessible in the future. Again, it used to be innocent until proven guilty. So it's not until after you're suspected of committing a crime that they will go after some sort of evidence, be it what your body looks like. Say, for example, if there was a rape or whatnot. But now that they have this information on file, you could bet that they would utilize it preemptively even if you had not committed a crime. And again, we're seeing this happen across the board. They're setting up a predicate for this to be basic standard practice.
So let's summarize real quick. What sort of information are the Fusion Centers collecting, and what are the potential dangers for us as free people?
Well, again, to be clear, the Fusion Center system began as a means of combating terrorism. Terrorism, specifically the threat from Al-Qaeda and other Islamic fundamentalists. Slowly but surely, we saw that approach go from a war on terror to only fighting terror to an all-crimes approach, and now we see it taking an all-hazards approach. So basically, just about every single criminal activity you could think of will be used for the Fusion Center, but also activities that are based not on criminal predicate. Suspicious activity reports, for example, your license plate, where you've been, your banking and finance report. So basically tying it back to the total information awareness and the functional categories of the Fusion Center guidelines, the federal government and the Department of Homeland Security through the Fusion Center apparatus are after just about every single piece of information that they could possibly collect. This is a primary concern for us. If you couple the fact that the Fusion Center is basically trying to gather every single piece of information possible, you take that along with the fact that the Fusion Centers in the past have been shown to go after peaceful dissent, First Amendment protected activity, and it's definitely a major concern for us. We have the COINTEL program of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, which targeted peaceful activists that were a threat to the establishment, that legitimately wanted to change the status quo, the political, social, and cultural order. We see that the FBI went after them in a major way, breaking a multitude and numerous crimes. It's evidence through the Fusion Center activity and through the war on terror being used against peaceful protesters that these activities are not gone. So it's a major concern, again, that they are attacking First Amendment protected activities, that they're gathering every single bit of data that they possibly can, that they have the technology and capability to do some very disturbing things with this information. It should definitely be a great concern for any American. So visit OperationDefuse.com if you'd like more information on how you can get involved at the local and state level to ensure that this type of abuse does not happen in your neck of the woods.
And now here's an example of Fusion Centers in action in Connecticut. The clip you're about to hear is from the CNN show American Morning with host John Roberts and reporter Jerry Willis. It aired on September 30th, 2009.
The debate over your privacy versus your security has been heating up ever since the government intensified its watch for terrorists operating within our borders. Now the case of one man who took a picture of the governor and ended up in jail is shining a light on another secret way the government may be keeping an eye on you. Jerry Willis here now with another report in our series, Watching You 24/7. I don't think most people have any idea that this is going on.
That's absolutely right. Well, Since 9/11, there have been a lot of debate about privacy rights in the age of terrorism. Well, fusion centers are state-run domestic intelligence centers that have access to a lot of your personal data. Some feel they're central to the war on terrorism, but others are worried that they're gathering too much info on people who are not suspected of crimes.
I dropped the bike.
It was the morning of Connecticut Governor Jody Rell's inaugural parade.
Pulled out my camera and I just shoot Governor Rell about 23 shots.
Moments later, Ken Krajewski was stopped by Hartford police officers, handcuffed, arrested, and jailed.
I said, well, what did I do? And I said, you shouldn't have been making those threats.
Local police had been on the lookout for him after state police gave out a security bulletin with his photo on it. Officials wouldn't comment pending a civil lawsuit, but court documents reveal state police were alarmed by Krajewski's blog posts. Who's going to protest the inaugural ball with me? And no need to make nice.
Why do I have to be nice to a political figure simply because she won an election?
Police began digging for more information, mining public and commercial databases. They learned Krajewski had been a Green Party campaign director, had protested a gubernatorial debate, and had once been convicted for civil disobedience. He had no history of violence. Law professor Daniel Citrin says police aren't supposed to gather information on citizens who aren't suspected of a crime.
If we're interested in someone because they're an advocate for a Green Party candidate, and we think they're suspicious because they want to get other people to protest someone's ideas, but not because we think there's a true threat to their lives, I think that's just troubling.
Today, law enforcement collects and shares more information than ever, and much of it goes on at state intelligence centers called fusion centers.
Fusion centers were started after 9/11 to help federal, state, and local law enforcement connect the dots and stop a terrorist attack. The Department of Homeland Security says they are a critical tool in keeping the nation safe.
In a typical fusion center, an FBI agent might be sitting next to a state highway patrol officer. They don't merely share space. They share databases and techniques.
But what's going into those databases has critics worried. The ACLU says there's evidence that some fusion centers have targeted Muslim groups and peace activists for surveillance.
Collecting information about people that has no relevance to whether or not they're breaking the law.
We're in the center of the analysis element where we have...
The director of New Jersey's fusion center says law enforcement works hard to balance national security with individual privacy.
We in law enforcement, and certainly in fusion centers, are very attuned to the Bill of Rights. We are not in the business of investigating First Amendment or constitutionally protected rights.
But Ken Krajewski thinks police in his town crossed the line.
The police did not determine the difference between who was dangerous and who was merely expressing constitutionally protected viewpoints.
So how many of these fusion centers are there out there?
John, there are 72 fusion centers. And look, while there's no strict federal oversight, there are guidelines in place that fusion centers are supposed to adhere to.
Right. So how concerned should we be about all of this, that there's fusion centers are out there gathering information on people who have not committed crimes?
Well, look, even if you're not a political activist, you do need to think about this. And it's always advisable to watch what you say and you do online. If you're on social networking sites, make sure to set those privacy settings. It's not just law enforcement you have to worry about today. Employers are also increasingly searching the web for job information on job candidates. So you don't know who's watching over your shoulder when you're on a social network.
Yeah, I tell you, we're being watched in ways that we never really realized before. Fascinating series, very illuminating too.
Thank you.
Jerry, thanks so much.
There are two fusion centers in Connecticut, and they go by the name Connecticut Intelligence Center. And one is located in New Haven at 600 State Street, and it says that it's co-located at the FBI office in New Haven. And their phone number is 203-777-6311. The other fusion center is located in Hartford at 25 Sigourney Street on the sixth floor. And their phone number is the same as the New Haven one, 203-777-6311. You can learn more about fusion centers by going to the ACLU website or, as you heard earlier in the program, at the website OperationDefuse.com. And now here's some information about my shows. 9/11 Wake Up Call can be heard on WWUH 91.3 FM on Wednesdays at noon and on WESU 88.1 FM on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Also, some of the older shows are archived at the website ct911truth.org, and you can catch the more recent ones by Googling Radio for All. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.